Good morning. Today we start Moed Katan. Obviously, we're on Daf Beis, and we're going to be starting the last two Masechtas here in Seder Moed. Moed Katan, obviously, is what we're beginning this morning, and just a month from now, less than a month from now, we're going to be doing Masechta Chagiga. Both of these Masechtas have three Prakim, so these are the small Masechtas in Seder Moed, and as we've gone over numerous times, so that's how every Seder works. It's the Darim work with opening up with the largest Masechtas vis-a-vis Prakim, and then ending up with the smallest Masechtas vis-a-vis Prakim. That's true by every Seder. You can fact check me on that. The Moed Katan is going to be dealing with basically primarily Chol HaMoed. There are only three Prakim in it, but the first two Prakim are going to be dealing with Chol HaMoed, and then the third parak is going to be dealing with Halachas of Avelos. Avelos, to a certain degree, is going to be somewhat similar to Chol HaMoed in that there is some restrictions of Malacha that are true during Avelos, but the third parak is really where you're going to be seeing all the halachas regarding Avelos. Okay, and from there, when we get to Chagiga, I'll introduce Chagiga. But that's the basic idea. So on Chol HaMoed, you can't do Malacha. You can do Malacha. So which one is right? And the answer is both. So you can do Malacha. You can't do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. And because of this tension between the allowance and the disallowance of doing Malacha, so therefore that's what we're going to try to wrap our heads around over the course of this first parak, second parak of the Masechta, what you can and cannot do on Chol HaMoed. So let's start off with the following. So on Yontif itself, so you can't do Malacha. Now there are Heterim on Yontif. We discussed that back in Beitza. In other words, for eating purposes, for Ochel Nefesh, are you allowed to do Malacha? You're allowed to cook, and cooking is a Malacha. So you're allowed to cook on Yontif. But aside from that, outside of Ochel Nefesh allowances, so Malacha is Asar on Yontif. So that we all know, the Torah says so. Numerous psukim that you can point to that detail the Issa Malacha on Yontif. Okay, but that's Yontif. Now, we also know that on two of the Yamim Tovim, so you have an in-between. You have the middle of a sandwich. In other words, you have Yontif on the front end, Yontif on the back end, and in the middle you have some sort of semi-Yontif experience environment between the two ends. And that's, of course, Pesach and Sukkos. So on Pesach, the first and seventh day are Yamim Tovim, and the days in between are... We're going to call from this point going forward Chol HaMoed. So it's going to have some sort of Yontif aspect to it. Same thing is true regarding Sukkos. On Sukkos, you have days 1 and 8 being Yamim Tovim, and the days in between are going to have this semi-Yontif type of environment. Okay, so what does that mean? So from the Gemara's here in Moed Katan, so we're not particularly sure what that means. I know it's funny, meaning this is the time, meaning Moed Katan would seem to be the perfect occasion for the Gemara to go ahead and articulate exactly what Chol HaMoed is, meaning from a fundamental level, what is Chol HaMoed? So in this Masechta, so we're not going to see, when are you going to see anything about Chol HaMoed, just from a fundamental standpoint? So it's going to be Masechta Chagiga. I know that's strange, but that's just simply how it works out. So if you take a look at Tosfos over here, this is still just part of an introduction. So Tosfos over here quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, the first Tosfos on the Amud. So Tosfos writes over here, Kedaminan beperek ein dorshin. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Ches. It's first Tosfos, fourth line down. So Tanya Yidach Sheshis Hamim Tocha Matzos of Yamashvi Atzeres Lashem Lokecha. So the pasuk says that for 6 days you're eating matzos, and on the seventh day Atzeres. Now Atzeres means that there's a stoppage, meaning we're not going to do work on the seventh day. So Atzeres Lashem Lokecha Umashvi Atzor Avshisha Utsrim. And so the Gemara there said, Chagiga says that just like on the seventh day, there's a stoppage. So too is going to be true by the 6 days preceding. So, I mashvi atzor mikol malacha, av kol shisha otzor mikol malacha. Okay, so let's just assume that just like you can't do any malacha on the seventh day, meaning seventh day is a bona fide yantiv, so maybe that's true for the six prior days as well. So, tam lamar hashivi, hey yaseira. So, hashvi atzor mikol malacha, ve'in hashishi atzorim mikol malacha. Ah, no, the hay is telling me that the seventh day, even though it is similar to the 6 days, but the seventh day remains somewhat independent. It's hashivi. So it means on the seventh day you can't do any malacha, but the 6 days prior you could do some malacha. Hala masun akasav ela chachama malamdecha ezo yom asur ve ezo yom mutar, ezo malacha asur ve ezo malacha mutaris. And now, we are seeing now from the Gemara Chagiga that there is some sort of fundamental difference between Yantav and Chol HaMoed. Now, what is that difference going to be dictated by? So Tosfos over here says the Chachamim are going to dictate. In fact, Rashi, which I'll show you in just a moment as well, is going to make a similar comment, meaning that the Chachamim have the power to go ahead and determine and dictate which malachas you can do, which malachas you can't do, and under what circumstances can you do those malachas. Good. So we've seen just, and the truth of the matter is, if you open up to Chagiga, there are going to be more drushes over there in Chagiga. trying to identify what exactly Chol HaMoed is. Okay, so Chol HaMoed is attention. It's just simply attention, meaning that it is not a Yantiv. On the other hand, it's not Chol, so it exists somewhere in between the two. And so good. So over the course of this Masechta and these first two Prakim, so we're going to try to wrap our heads around what exactly you can and cannot do on Chol HaMoed, and that's where we are, and that's what we're covering for the next couple of weeks here in this first and second Prakim of the Masechta. Let's begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off Mashkin Beis Hashlachim HaMoed Uvishvias Bein Mimayim Shetze Betchila Bein Mimayim Shelo Yetze Betchila. So the Mishnah right away just deals with examples, meaning the Mishnah is not dealing with fundamental issues. The Gemara is going to try to wrap its head around what are the operating issues over here? What are the concepts that are involved? The Mishnah just gives examples. And the Mishnah's examples are, is that irrigation. So obviously irrigation is a malacha on Shabbos and on Yantiv. So on Chol HaMoed, under certain circumstances, you can irrigate. So what can you irrigate? So you can irrigate Beis HaShlachim. Now Beis HaShlachim are the mountain, are the mountainous areas. Mountainous areas where there's no pooling of water, there's no reservoirs, and so therefore, if we don't irrigate, the only water they're going to get is from the rain. And if we don't irrigate, so the fields are going to go bad. Whatever we're growing on is going to go bad. So it demands water. So you need to irrigate it. So you're allowed to. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to. So Mashkin Beis HaShlachim B'Moed uVishvias. And also during the Shemitah year. Right now, we're currently in a Shemitah year. So in the Shemitah year, so you're not allowed to work during the Shemitah year as well. Now, obviously, the definition of Malacha by Shemitah is much different than the definition of Malacha as it relates to Yantiv and Chol HaMoed. But still, vis-a-vis irrigation, it's going to be a match, and that you can't generally water during the Shemitah year. However, the Beis HaShlachim, you're allowed to water. Uvishvias, and so the Shemitah year, you're allowed to irrigate the mountainous regions, the Beis HaShlachim. Now, as far as what spring I'm allowed to use, so if it is a newly fashioned spring or if it's an old spring, right? The Mayan Shiyatza Betchila is a spring that was newly developed. In other words, the canal was just engineered and it was a newly developed spring. And obviously the Mayan Shaloyatza Betchila is talking about a spring that's been around for a very long time. Why would we think to make a distinction? So we're going to see over the course of today's daf why you might have thought to make a distinction. The Mishnah's point is, don't make a distinction. As long as it's spring water, so then you could use that water to irrigate your Beis HaShlachim. But you cannot use Me'eg Shamim, rainwater, and you cannot use Me'eg Kilon, another type of water source. Why can't you use these? So Rashi writes over here, because there's a consideration of Tircha Yisera, meaning it's too much work. And again, as we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand a lot better exactly what are the operating principles that are involved in this Mishnah. Similarly says the Mishnah, what you can't do is you can't make holes around the vineyard. So what they would do is they would dig up some holes around the vineyard in order so that when it rains, the water is going to go ahead and collect the holes are going to collect the rain, and you can't do that on Chol HaMoed. Again, we're going to discuss why as we get to the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Einosim Esama B'tchila B'Moed V'Shvias. One cannot make a canal initially, not on Chol HaMoed, not during the Shemitah year. V'Chachamim Omerim Osim Esama B'tchila B'Shvias. And the Chachamim say that during the Shemitah year, you can make a canal. U'Mesaknes Amukukalas B'Moed. On Chol HaMoed, if anything fell, so you're allowed to rebuild it. Again, the Gemara is going to go into much more detail in terms of what exactly we're describing over here. If there's any water works that needs fixing on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do that in Rishos Rabim. You're allowed to dredge it up if necessary. You're allowed to fix roads, right pathways, roads, also mikvahs during Chol HaMoed, v'osin kol tzorchei rabim. If it is Sarche Rabim, if it's a public need, so that you're allowed to fix on Chol HaMoed. Umitzainin as a kfaris, you're also allowed to mark the graves, right, back in the day. So in order to know that the graves were there, in other words, cemeteries back in the day were kind of just a little more sporadically spread around. And so therefore, in order to make sure that people know that this is a grave and people are buried here, so they would mark it off. And they would have to remark it from time to time. You're allowed to do that also on Chol HaMoed. B'yotze ma'afal ha'klaim, and also what you're allowed to do is that if klaim need to be ripped out of the ground, so you could do that, you can even do it in Chol HaMoed. Tosfos over here points out, this last piska of the Mishnah doesn't just simply mean you're allowed to rip up klaim. Actually, the truth of the matter is there's a mitzvah to go ahead and rip out klaim. So Tosfos points out it's not exactly like the other cases in the Mishnah where there are allowances. Over here, it's an actual mitzvah. Okay. So there really is a lot to discuss in this Mishnah, and I went through the Mishnah rather quickly. But the basic point of the Mishnah is that there are allowances that one can do on Chol HaMoed. Notably, you're allowed to irrigate a field. Now, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, you can't water. Watering a field in order to promote the growth, so that's a malacha. Now, which malacha is that exactly? So stay tuned. Right? If I can get you to, you know, a little bit of a teaser for later this morning. So the Gemara is going to ask exactly that question, and we're going to try to answer that question a little bit later this morning. But meanwhile, it's a malacha. Let's just say nice and simple. Watering the ground on Shabbos is a malacha. On Yom Tov, it's also a malacha as well. And meanwhile, on Chol HaMoed, under certain circumstances, it would be acceptable. We see that clearly in the Mishnah. So what we're going to do over the course of the first amud of today's daf is we're going to wrap our heads around why is it mutter? What exactly are the considerations that would give an allowance? Clearly, we know that sometimes it's not allowed, meaning in the Mishnah itself, we made a really clear distinction that you're allowed to water the Beis HaShlachim, but only the Beis HaShlachim, only areas that are thirsty for water, like the mountainous areas. But if it's an area that is low-lying and doesn't need our intervention as much, so that you don't have that you're not allowed to water. So already in the Mishnah we see that there is an allowance for certain malachas, but at the same time, even that malacha is only allowed under certain circumstances. So what are the what are the post signs that give us the allowances to do it versus not to do it? So that's what we're going to be discussing. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Hashi Yesh Lamar Mimayin Sheyatze Betchila Dasilan Pulei Mashkin Mimayin Shelo Yatze Betchila Dalasilin Pulei Mibaye. So the Gemara says, look, we made a distinction, or we avoided a distinction between two different types of springs. There's a spring that was just newly erected, and there was a spring that's been there for a while. Now, what's the difference? So the difference is as follows. When it comes to a newly erected spring, so that means to say that we just dug up the trenches, the canals, and now the spring was just fashioned. But at the same time, because it's brand new, it could fall. And it would therefore require our attention, and we would have to go ahead and reconstruct it. On the other hand, if it's a Mayan that's been there for a while, if it's a spring that's been there for a while, chances are it's not going to fall apart. Chances are it won't need our attention. Our Mishnah is telling us that I could draw water from a Mayan, even though it's a newly formed Mayan, even though there exists that concern that it may fall apart. So what the Gemara is bothered by is that once I know that I could use the new Mayan, so it goes without saying that of course I can use an old Mayan, why would the Mishnah have to tell me that? So Amri Itzrich, so in the base measure, so the answer is follows. No, it's necessary. Itana Mayan Shiyatza Betchila, because had the Mishnah said that that I can water from a newly formed spring, so Hava Amina Hacha Hachu de Beis HaShachamin Beis HaBaalo. So there, with a new spring, so I have an allowance, notably to irrigate my field, but only the Beis HaShlachim, only the fields that demand water, but not the Beis HaBaal. The Beis HaBaal are the low-lying fields that don't demand water as much. So Mishum Dasgalin Pule. And the reason why I could use a new spring, but only for the Beis HaShlachim, is because I'm not worried, even though I'm worried it's going to fall apart, the spring that is, but nevertheless, because the land is so thirsty, so I could use such a spring. But if that's the only thing the Mishnah would have told me, here's what I would have considered. But if it's an old spring, meaning, and we know it's not going to fall apart, we're really confident it's not going to need our intervention. So So I might have thought that I could use that old spring, not only for Beis HaShlachim, but even for Beis HaBaal as well. So Kamash Malan. So that's why the Mishnah is telling us that it doesn't matter the type of spring. The point is that the only line that we're drawing in the sand is only the type of field, meaning the allowance is only for a Beis HaShlachim, and there is no allowance for the Beis HaBaal. And by the Mishnah telling us that it doesn't matter what kind of spring we're talking about, it means that the nature of the spring is not the critical factor. The critical factor is just simply the type of land. If it's a Beis HaShlachim, where it needs water, so that you're allowed to irrigate on Chol HaMoed. If it's a low-lying land that does not need water as desperately, So therefore, there is no allowance. That's it. That's the only critical factor. My mashma, the Gemara says, okay, just for a moment, we're going to work a little bit on our definitions. My mashma, dai beis hashlachim lishna detzachsuchehu. So the beis hashlachim, which, as we discussed back in the Mishnah, is a land that is thirsty for water. Again, you look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, saduhu omedes bahar. Right? It's up in the higher areas. And so therefore, it has no collected water. It really needs water. It's thirsty. So why the term beis hashlachim? How do we get from beis hashlachim to a land that's so thirsty? So that's the Gemara's question. So, dichsiv. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look together. So we look at the pasuk in the end of Parshas Ki Seitze, and here's going to be our bridge. It's a loose connection, but, you know, it works. This is going to be our bridge between Masechta Megillah and our Masechta over here of Moed Katan. Because over here, this is the pasuk informing us, instructing us that we have to remember Amalek and what they did to us. Ki ata ve'ata ayefi ageya, and you guys were exhausted. I mean, that's a description of us, the Jewish people, as we left Mitzrayim, and that's when they took advantage of us. Umid targaminan. Now, you'd like to take a look at Targum over there. Ve'at mashle ula'e. Okay, good. So those are Aramaic words, two of them that I don't know what they mean, but. But at least in context now, I do know what they mean. Meaning, so mashle means, is a definition of ayef, right? Usually Targum is there to help us what the Chumash means. So for us, it's the Chumash telling us now what Targum means. So, okay, but that's just me. So ata ayef viyageya. So you're ayef. Now ayef usually is translated as tired. Over here, not to be translated as tired, but rather to be translated as thirsty. In fact, Tosos here makes exactly that point. That the word ayef over here means that you were thirsty. So fine. So the ayef now is translated as mashli. Now I know it's a hey and we're using a ches, but the hey and the ches are very similar letters and they can sometimes be flipped around. Anyway, we just learned that if you look at Targum, you see the word shlach in Targum means something that's thirsty. So the base of shlachim is a land that's thirsty. Good. That's our first word of the day. Second word of the day. Umay mashma dahi base abal lishna dimisuvusahi. Beis HaBaal is something which is settled. A land which is settled. Settled simply meaning it's not as thirsty. How do I know that? So the Gemara goes on to say, Dechsiv ki yivol b'chor b'sula. So we start with a pasuk in Yishayahu, umid targamin, and then you now go to the targum on that pasuk in Yishayahu. Arei kama demisusev alam im b'sulta. You see that when a young man, the olam over here is a reference to a young man, settles, the word misusav, settles together with a young woman. So yesavunim begavech benayich. Okay. So so that's the pasuk, that's the pshat and the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So the word, you see the word kiyaval when going from the Navi to the Targum. So the Targum translated it as yesivusa, which means that it's settled. Okay. So what we just learned together is two words. We learned the beis hashlachim, which means thirsty. We mean the beis haba, which is settled. Okay. Settled meaning relaxed, composed. It doesn't need water as much. Yishuvadas, nachon. So mantana, fine. So that brings us now to this point of the Gemara, in which here's what we've learned so far: you can irrigate a beis hashlachim, you cannot irrigate a beis habaal. And in terms of the water source that you can use, so when it comes to the beis habaal, there is no allowance whatsoever. Doesn't matter whether the spring is an old spring or it's a new spring. You cannot irrigate the beis habaal. When it comes to the beis hashlachim, you are allowed to irrigate it from either spring, whether it is a new one or whether it's an old one. And the issue over here, the dynamic over here that we're seeing is that as long as it desperately needs our attention, like the beis hashlachim, so that you're allowed to irrigate. Even by the beis hashlachim, there's still going to be a limitation, because in the Mishnah we learned that you cannot use lo mimei gshamim v'lo mimei akilon. You can't use these types of water sources. You can only use a water source of a ma'ayan. Okay. We now know the halacha. What we're now going to try to do for the remainder of today's daf, not the remainder, but now for the next section of the daf, is what we're going to try to wrap our heads around. What are the issues? Meaning, what exactly are the dynamics, the concepts behind all of these halachas? Okay, so that's exactly what the Gemara is going to try to figure out. Mantana, the pseida in harvacha lo. Okay, so first of all, we're going to make a distinction between pseida and harvacha. Okay. As far as the Beis HaShlachim is concerned, if we do not water the Beis HaShlachim, it's going to be a loss. It's so in need of water that failure to order for 1 week, Chol HaMoed is going to be a week, so failure to order for a week is going to definitely represent a real loss of the land, of whatever you're growing on the land, so that's Peseda. So there is an allowance for Peseda. So, and Harvacha means that if I don't tend to it, so I'm simply losing profit. Meaning it's not going to represent a real loss. It'll just simply be a loss of potential. Meaning there would have been a better field, but it would not have actually incurred a real loss if we ignore the Beis HaBaal for a week. Okay, so in our Mishnah, here's what we know. We know that Peseda is mutter, Harvacha, there's no allowance for Harvacha, or let's say better, Harvacha is Aser. But we also know in the Mishnah the following. Even when there's an allowance for Peseda, in other words, in our Mishnah, you're allowed to irrigate the Beis HaShlachim, but still only for Mamayan. You can only irrigate it using a spring. If you use these other water sources, so then what that represents is Tircha Yisera. It's too much effort. And too much effort is going to be Aser. So here are now the guiding guidelines, the rules, or I should say better, the concepts behind the rules, and that is that on Chol HaMoed, what creates a heter? It has to number one be a pseda, meaning if I don't do it, it's going to represent a real loss, and number two, even under those circumstances, tircha yisera is going to be aser. That is what is guiding our Mishnah and informing the halacha. And now, from this point going forward, whose position is that? And as we're going to see together, there's actually going to be an assortment of positions amongst the Tanaim. And what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be matching which Tana represents our Mishnah. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Mantana the Peseda in Arvacha Lo Ve'afil B'Makom Peseda Mitzrach Nami Lo Tarchinan. So Amrav Huna Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov, he did not. So it is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov Omer Moshkin Es Amayim Ilan Le'Ilan Avavad Shelo Yashke Es Asad Dekula. Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov, we're going to see this Mishnah together later in the Masechta. So he allows you to divert a water source from one tree to another, so that the trees themselves will get watered. However, even though I'm moving the water from one tree to another, in other words, I'm basically diverting water from one tree to another, but what I cannot do in the interim is that any land in between the trees, I can't water that land in between the trees. Meaning I can only tend to the trees, but not to the water in between. So the trees represent Peseda. The field in between does not represent Peseda. So you see now, presumably, that Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is telling us that I'm allowed to water only to avoid loss, but not to avoid a harvacha. Okay. So, Eimah d'sham le'le Rebbe Elazar harvacha d'lo. Tircha b'makom seda misham aslei. So the Gemara says, very good, but you've only answered half the question. The question is that in our Mishnah, you're right. Malacha is allowed for purposes of pseda. That's true. But even then, you're not allowed to be involved in too much tircha. That's clear in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah limits which waters I could use. But in this Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta, this position of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, he's only addressing the issue of Pseida. He's not addressing the issue of Tircha. So the Gemara says, Ella Amara Papas, Rav Papas says, fine. So let's do this again, and let's cite a different Braisa. Hamani Rav Yehudi Detanya. So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Mayana Yotze Betchila Mashkin Mimenu Afilu Sada Beis HaBaal Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the Ma'ayan, the wellspring, that is a brand new wellspring, so you can use it. You can use it even for a Beis HaBaal. So according to Shitas Rav Meir, so you're allowed to irrigate all types of fields that desperately need it, even fields that don't desperately need it. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar in Mashkin Ela Sade Beis HaShlachim Shecharava. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I can only irrigate fields that are in desperate need of it. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Amar Lo Kach Velo Kach, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no and no. And we'll get back to the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah momentarily. And yes, okay, I'm a Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, I'll go one step further. Lo yifna adam amas mayim v'yashke ligi nasa l'chavasa b'chol shamoed. A person cannot divert a water source in order to water his garden or the ruins of a property on Chol HaMoed. Okay, now, in this brisa, so we have three opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as the Gemara in a moment is about to point out, at least now we can pinpoint that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So, but before we do that, my Charva, the Gemara just simply wants to know. We're describing over here a Charva, a land which is dry. So, are we talking about where the land is bone dry? So, so why would I be irrigating it? Meaning, at this point in time, the Gemara's assumption is that if it's bone dry, watering it is not going to help it at all. So, meaning, what happened was as follows. The land is not bone dry, however, the current water source has stopped. And now, we need a new water source. If we don't get a new water source, so then the land is going to dry up. That's what we mean by charva. Okay, so Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Amar Lokach Velokach Loshna Charv Mayana Veloshna Lochar Mayana. So Mayan Sheyatsa B'Tchila Lo. So and according to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, so it doesn't matter that the wellspring is drying up. If we're talking about a new wellspring as a water source, you cannot use a new wellspring according to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, so we now know. In other words, given the choices over here in the Brice of amongst the three opinions, here's what we know. Our Mishnah cannot be Rav Meir because Rav Meir here has an allowance for watering, not only based on Shlachim, but based on Baal. And our Mishnah does not allow that. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir. That part's clear. Our Mishnah is also not going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah because Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as we just learned together, will not allow you to use a new spring, a new wellspring. Again, that concern that it's going to fall and you're going to have to repair it. So you're not allowed to use a new wellspring. Our Mishnah does allow for that. So our Mishnah is not going like the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We're left now with only one opinion. That's Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going like Shitas, Rebbe Yehuda. So now with that stated, so now the Gemara wants to know. So according to Shitas, Rebbe Yehuda, it is a match to our Mishnah, but it's not perfect. Now, in the Brice of Rav Yehuda simply says that I can't use a new wellspring for the Beis HaBaal. But maybe we could deduce from Rav Yehuda that if it's an old wellspring and I'm not worried that's going to fall apart, so maybe I could use that for both the Beis HaBaal and the, I'm sorry, let's do the other way, for both the Beis HaShlachim and the Beis HaBaal. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant, and if that's true, meaning we don't know that, but if that's true, and we could deduce that from Rabbi Yehuda, so then our Mishnah is not a match to Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara says, no. Avamayin shelo yatsa b'tchila d'las l'mpula, afilo beis aval nami. Imkein, three lines down on beis amid beis, so imkein masis and aman tamya. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that if, in fact, we do that, so then who is our Mishnah actually following? Our Mishnah is not going to be following any position, meaning it's certainly not Rebbe Meir, it's certainly not Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and so now, who are we going to assign authorship of our Mishnah to? So, Ela Rebbe Yehuda, lo shna mayin sheyatsa b'tchila, lo shna mayin shelo yatsa b'tchila, beis ha-shlachim in, beis ha-baal lo. Okay, so, it must be that Shitas Rebbe Yehuda is that it doesn't matter what kind of wellspring we're talking about, old or new, one is not allowed to water beis ha-baal, because that's only an issue of harvacha, that's only a loss of profit, but one is in fact allowed to water a beis hashlachim. Now, v'hai diktani mayan shiyasa b'tchila odicha kochad Rav Meir, da'afila mayan ayosa b'tchila mashkim imenu afila sadei abal. So then the obvious question, why would the Braisa not make that point clear? Why is the Braisa only talking about a mayan ayosa b'tchila? So the Gemara says, because what the Braisa wanted to do was accentuate, emphasize the shita of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir has an allowance in the Mishnah. Now again, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Meir. But in the Braisa, Rav Meir says that if it is a new wellspring, you can even use it to water a Beis HaBaal. That's a tremendous heter. And what the Braisa enjoys doing, what it likes doing, is it likes accentuating kulas. Right? The koach de hetera adif. We saw that in the beginning of Masechta Beitza. The idea is that it's right, the way Rashi describes it back in Beitza, anyone can be machmir. Even if you don't know what the correct answer is, you could be machmir. And you can play it safe. However, if you're a mako and you feel confident and strong in your position, so that's koach de tera adif. So over here, the Gemara says, look, the Braisa, the only reason why the Braisa is talking about a new wellspring is just simply to accentuate and emphasize the shita Rav Meir, who gives an allowance even with a new wellspring. That's a tremendous gula. That's the only reason why the Braisa does that. But according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, even if it's an old wellspring, I can only water the Beis HaShlachim, not the Beis HaBaal. Okay, so what we've done now for the last 5-10 minutes is basically we've established authorship of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going like Shitas Rav Yehuda, not Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, not Shitas Rebbe Meir. Okay. With that stated now, So we figured out over the course of the first half of today's daf, you're allowed to water a land on Chol HaMoed. Watering is a malacha, but as long as we are looking at a pseda, and as long as it's not a tircha yosera, so you're allowed to water the Beis HaShlachim on Chol HaMoed. Fine. It's been established. I promised you, and I did not deliver, back in the Mishnah, so said Rashi. Rashi basically, I'll just summarize it, go through it inside, I encourage you to do so, but Rashi reiterates Tosus's point, the Tosus that we start off our daf with today, and that is that Masru Chachamim, Masru Biyad Chachamim. The idea that on Chol HaMoed, so there is an Isser Malacha, but in terms of the parameters and definition of the Isser Malacha, the Chachamim have the ability to go ahead and shape and design exactly what's going to be forbidden and what's going to be Asr. Okay. The more in-depth discussion, which we're not going to have, is that once the Chachamim do that, once they establish, once they shape and create the parameters of Malacha on Chol HaMoed, so now what? So that which is Asr now is Asr min HaTorah? Or that which is Asr now, and that which is, well, that which is Mutter is obviously Mutter. But that which is now Asr, the Chachamim shaped it, but it maintains, it retains its Isser Daraisa. So that's a more in-depth discussion, which we're not going to have, but it's something to consider. Rashi and Tosfos both on our daf make exactly that point. Itmar. We are on Beis Amud Beis. We're about 8 lines down from the Amud. HaMenachesh v'amashke mayim lezrayim v'shabbos mishum mayim asrin anbe. Okay, so you see somebody weeding a land on Shabbos, or you see somebody watering a field on Shabbos. So it's a malacha. You're not allowed to do it. Okay, it's an Isser Daraisa. The question over here is really simple. What's the Hasra going to sound like? So you're going to warn him, don't do it, and you need to tell him now what malacha he's actually violating. Certainly sounds like from a Gemara, for in order for the Hasra, for the warning to be an appropriate warning, so you actually have to know not only that it's a violation of Shabbos, but you have to know which malacha it is. And so the question now is, so which malacha is in fact he violating? So Rav Amar Mishum Charish Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zareya Mach Lokis Amarayim, according to Shitas Rabba, so that is Charish, that's plowing. Now, it's not actually the act of plowing, but nevertheless, it's plowing. And according to Rav Yosef, it's Mishum Zareya. It's actually you're planting. Now, again, it's not actually planting, you're watering. So each of these positions needs a little bit of help in terms of explanation. Amar Rabba Kavazididi Mistabra Madarko Shacharish Lerafuye Ara Hainami Marfeya Ara. He says what you have to do is you have to look at the goal of the malacha. So when it comes to plowing, the goal of plowing is to soften the land. Make it more eligible for it to grow on it. But basically, it's an improvement of the land. The malacha of Charish is land improvement. When I'm watering the land, it's land improvement. Same goal. And Amr of Yosef Kavitsi Didi Mistabra Madarka Shozarei La'atz Letzmuche Peira Hachanami Mitzmech Peira. And according to Rav Yosef, no. In other words, when you are watering, so what are you doing? You're helping growth. You're causing growth. So that's true when it comes to planting, it's causing growth. It's also true when it comes to watering, you're causing growth. So Amr Le'abai L'Rabba L'Didchi Kasha L'Rav Yosef Kasha. He says, look, I'm going to ask questions in both directions. L'Didchi Kasha Mishum Choresh Mishum Zareya Lo. L'Rav Yosef Kasha Mishum Zareya Mishum Choresh Lo. And the Gemara now wants to know, why can't we just simply say it's both true? V'chitem kol echadika tartula mechayiv alechada. And what do you want to tell me? It's impossible for an act to be two malachas? It's simply not true. And meanwhile, Rav Kahana taught us that let's say I'm pruning the tree and I'm looking to do two things with the act of pruning. Number one, I want to improve the tree. Number two, I need the actual wood that I'm pruning. So under those circumstances, with that one act, you're going to be chayev two malachas. Now, in terms of the death penalty, it's a helfnish. Meaning, so what? So now they're going to kill you two times over? Okay, good. But in terms of if you did a bishogeg, that's obviously really significant because now you'd be chayv not one but two chatos. So over here, Rav Kahana tells us it's possible that you're going to be chayv shtayim on one act. Really important tosus over here. Tosus over here chayv shtayim. So he highlights that don't we generally say mishum risha achas atam chayv avita chayv shtei rishayus that you can't for one act be subject to two penalties. So Tosus over here writes that's true. But only when they are penalties of different categories, like makos and mamon, or misa and mamon. But if it's misa and misa, Tosfos says we do not impose the rule of mishum risha achas atamechayv avitamechayvo shtei rishayos. Okay, let's pause. Let's recap our daf today. Sorry, we got to end a little bit early today. Let's just simply recap. We started our new Masechta Moed Katan. We learned in the Mishnah that you're allowed to irrigate a field on Chol HaMoed, but with the following limitations. It has to be a field that's in desperate need of water, the Beis HaShlachim, a Beis HaBaal, which is not in desperate need, you cannot water. And once there's an allowance to water, so you can use whatever wellspring you want, but you can't use other bodies of water that would involve Tircha Yisera. That's the Mishnah said a lot more than that, but that's the part that we focused on in today's daf. In the course of today's daf, number one, just the definitions of the word Beis HaShlachim and Beis HaBaal. So the Gemara quoted a couple of psukim and targum on those two psukim. And number two, our Gemara identified who's the author of our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, but we learned together over the course of a Mishnah later on, a Braisa citing three different opinions. We have really in total four different opinions in terms of what could be done vis-a-vis watering, which position is our Mishnah following. So after a little bit of back and forth, our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda as recorded in the Braisa. Then finally, what we did this morning is that when I water land and I'm doing so on Shabbos, which malacha are we describing over here? Is it the malacha of Choresh? Is it the malacha of Zoreah? Machlokas amongst the Amarayim? What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the goal? Are we focusing on the growth of the plants? So the Gemara says that's a machlokas. Rav Kahana just wonders, why can't it be both? He has another occasion where we see that clearly you could do one act and be in violation of two malachas. So why can't that be the case over here? Kasha, the Gemara ends it off on a question.